Okay, well, my PC. I was about to make fun of this PC being in my way. What do I do with a PC? And I always ask myself. And I'm not even a Mac fan. Thank you, Hal, wherever you went. Hopefully, Marley. Oh, not Marley. Actually, it was the same one when we started Rickety Gummy, too, and we probably took it too far in him, too, and people would say, why do we all hate each other? We don't hate each other.
Okay.
And that's what I found out, that, as they were talking about the same here, some percentage of any group is going to be some characteristic, and some percentage of the sketchy has a sense of humor, and that's okay. Here we go. Last year I gave a talk about what we didn't know about socialism. I had a lot of fun with it. It was something I kind of put together. It was looking at each object in socialism, moving out from the sun and out into the outer region, and trying to do something we didn't know about. And I had a lot of people come up and say they really liked it. It was very profound and it was inspiring. And I thought, that's fantastic. What am I going to do this year? So I thought, you know, let's come back to being a smart ass. That's what I like doing with that. And after this last panel, maybe not the best idea, but we'll see. At that first TAM, I talked about Planet X, which is this ridiculous notion that a giant planet is orbiting the sun on a 3,600-year orbit, so every 3,600 years it comes by the Earth and causes tidal waves and all the biblical plagues and all of that stuff was caused by this planet, and it went away. And this was not my first, and I knew it was not going to be my last astronomical doomsday debunking. And I have actually done quite a few, and that's why I wanted to talk about the 2012 Galactic Doom! I actually can't do the same voice without Evan Bernstein's soundboard, so I won't try to do that. But you'll be hearing a lot about this in a minute. The doomsday theory has been around for a long time. The thing is, they haven't always been astronomical. They've been biblical ones, and then viruses and zombie uprisings and all that kind of stuff. But there is something special about astronomy. I think it's basically because nobody really understands it. And so it's easy to make up something. People aren't used to looking up into the sky, not familiar with it. And so they know there are things out there that are dangerous, but they're not sure what. And if somebody comes along and says, you know, there's the photon belt. They can make anything up and make it sound like it's real. I'm not going to go back too far in time here. Maybe we can go back thousands of years or even to the 1800s with the Millerites. But in fact, let's start in the 21st century by definition. Some of you may remember in May 5th, 2000, there was a planetary alignment that was supposed to tear the Earth apart. And this is also happened in 1982 with the Jupiter effect. There was a book written on that. This was never any problem. All the planets were actually lined up on the far side of the sun. And so, even if they were on the near side of the sun, their added gravitational might, it would be basically a flea jumping up and down on your nose. It was nuts. They were on the far side of the sun, so it was even worse. There were people screaming gloom and doom, and it was fairly ridiculous, even in the scale of ridiculous arguments. 2003 was Planet X. You may notice these have specific dates. This always kills me. What kind of a doomsday crier are you if you're not saying, sometime soon, but not going to be specific. As soon as you give a date, and that date comes, and then it passes, you're kind of pricing yourself out of the market, unless you actually are with the Millerites, and then they kept changing the date. Oh, did we see 1891? We met 1894. And they kept changing it, and then it was becoming actually a recognized religion. I'll leave that alone. November 8th, 2003 was a harmonic convergence. This was another planetary alignment. This wasn't actually a doomsday scenario, although some people thought it might be. But this was actually going to raise the planetary consciousness and do all kinds of wonderful things. And you may remember that that didn't happen. That's what, yeah. Last year, January, asteroid 2CU24. This is an asteroid that passed relatively nearby the Earth, not terribly close. But people were saying it was going to hit us. And then when it was clear it wasn't going to hit us, people started saying, oh, did we say it's going to hit us? I meant to say that it's actually going to react with the Earth's magnetic field, and it's going to cause blackouts and going to turn you all into zombies. And there are YouTube videos about this. I have put out a YouTube video about this saying, no, don't worry about this. I would feel really ridiculous having to actually write something as ridiculous as that. No, we're not going to be wiped out by something like this. Especially when we might be wiped out by an asteroid. Yes, no, this one. And then, of course, this week was the 12th episode of Penn & Teller Show. Okay, Hal, what did you do in the crowd? They totally wiped out their sense of humor. Okay, that's helpful. So, I tackled almost every astronomical doomsday scenario that's been coming along the past 2 years. It's the one thing that really bugs me. People want to see the moon landing today. Yeah, that's not, I wouldn't say that's fine, but it's not directly harmful. I'm going to listen to Joe Rogan, but that's a whole other story. A few of you remember that already. Come on, wake up. This is it, guys. I'm not the only one up here today. I can give you a plenty up here if they got more titles if you want. Yeah. Oh, great. Thank you. You didn't know I am the president. Usher? Yeah, I guess not as easy. That's right. The thing is, debunking these things is really important to me because, or excuse me, let me finish that last thought. A lot of the stuff I want to debunk is not directly harmful, it just pisses me off because I'm an astronomer and I don't want to see, my beloved science being attacked by goofballs. But in fact, there is some cases of these doomsday scenarios scare people. And in 2003, Nancy Leader was going around telling people that the Earth was going to be destroyed. And she knew this because she was telepathically communicating with aliens who couldn't do simple multiplication. That's a whole other story. But people believed her. This was the most ridiculous thing you could possibly make up besides Scientology. And people were in fact believing her. People were selling their homes. It was really bad. So I tried to debunk this. Yes, I know. I understand the irony of me going out of my way to debunk doomsday scenarios when I wrote an entire book on this, and they specifically told the speakers not to plug their book. So I'm not telling you to go back there and buy a book,
which may possibly save your life.
But in fact, this talk is going up for auction. We'll be talking about that later on. We'll be there for a moment. And not to buy it because that money's going to the J-Rod. So I haven't done this in a while. It's been about a year. But a new one has come up, as you all know. It's been around for a while. And that is the Mayan prophecy of the end of time of 2012. And I've been meaning to tackle this for a long time. But every time I start investigating, I realize it's going to be, 15,000 words. And I have to look up pictures on the internet. And it turns out my friend Ian O'Neill, who writes for Universe Today, go to universetoday.com, there's a 2012 tag. And he's already tackled some of these. So he's a different writer than I am. He's really good. He's very thorough. I have a different plan on things, so I like to do things my own way. So I will be writing about this. And this talk is actually a way of forcing me to do that by actually talking about it. Well, what's the deal here? Well, the Mayan prophecy is the end of time. And the thing is, it's kind of funny, okay? Their calendar, they had a really good calendar system. These guys were good astronomers, good scientists for what they could do at the time, 1,000 years ago. And they understood the cycles of the heavens. They could predict eclipses. They knew about the year. I believe they knew about the precession of the equinoxes, which I'll be talking about in a moment. They're pretty smart. And like us, they have a system of cyclical time units. We have seconds, minutes, hours, days, years, months, decades, centuries, millennia. They keep getting bigger and bigger. They have these as well. I won't go into all the names, but they have different cycles. And when one would take, when they would all sort of take over, the next one would take over to one. And there's this one cycle that back ends around the end of the year 2012. Now I actually have to find out from Mayan scholars what the precise date is. They're claiming that it's on December 21st, 2012. However, I have found that when you actually research these guys' claims, even when they're specific, they tend to be wrong. So at some point I will look into this a little more carefully. But the exact date doesn't matter all that much. The fact that it's at the end of 2012 is what's important. Now the Mayans were very sophisticated. They did a lot of stuff. And they were probably the largest non-centralized civilization this planet ever seen. And their calendars were very accurate. However, they didn't seem to predict the end of their own civilization. The highest civilization, they're still around. They just taken it down the culture. But the fact that they couldn't even predict their own sort of civilization changing makes me a little wary that they can predict with such precision that the Earth would be destroyed by some thing from space. And you have to realize that the reason they're saying that the doomsayers are saying it's going to be the end time is because the calendar is turning over. It's basically the end of their calendar. And of course, the first thing I think of is, a lot of things change over in the same way. They aren't destroyed when they have it, unless it's a Chrysler, but in this case, your odometer goes to 99,999 miles and other stuff you have tents on it. But it takes over 100,000 miles. And in fact, the guy who took a series of pictures on Flickr that I got, these are Creative Commons licenses, so I can look at them and put them up on my talk here. He has a series of pictures that go on after this. We do in fact show 100,000 miles and the car was not destroyed by a giant solar flare. So I'm thinking we're probably safe from the Mayan prophecy. Well, there's a lot of claims that these people are making up about the Mayan. Now, in my view, this is all baloney, right? So the very premise that the Mayan predicts the end times is wrong. It's just that their cycles turn over, but they had another cycle that would become one at the end of this. And so we're fine here. There's nothing going on. But they still make these wacky claims. So what are some of these guys? What are they claiming? Well, one of them is, of course, Planet X. I said at the time, 2003, you've not heard the end of Planet X. It's coming back. Somebody's going to be saying something about it. And I said it's 2012. I was right. These guys are claiming that Nibiru, or whatever you want to call it, is coming back, and that's going to destroy the Earth. I debunked this one quite thoroughly on the website, and it's M1, so we can dismiss that one pretty easily. Hey, what about solar flares? They're going to have a solar flare in this 2012, isn't it? Yeah, well, not so much. The sun is not behaving, according to the doomsayer criers. Timeline. In fact, it was supposed to peak in late 2012, but the sun's solar cycle is actually late getting started. And even if it weren't late getting started, the solar sunspot number may peak in late 2012, probably more like mid-2013, hard to predict exactly. But the biggest solar events, the biggest solar flares, the biggest explosions, tend to happen a year to a year and a half after the peak sunspot number. So really, it's going to be 2013, 2014 before you have solar flares, so... To discount this, we know there's not any asteroid large enough to wipe out all life on Earth on its way to the Earth right now. There could be a giant comet. Hale-Bopp was not discovered until it was 2 years before recent year. Had it been aimed at the Earth, we would have had 2 years, and it was big enough that it was basically a dinosaur. But we don't think there's anything like that. So there are millions and millions of years in between. It's kind of hard to imagine that the Mayans knew of a giant comet that was on orbit. That was predictable enough that they could say when it's going to come and hit the Earth again, yet be unpredictable enough that we don't already know about it. So that doesn't make any sense. So they're bad at zero here. But they have another one that I heard about. And it has to do with the sun. Oh, not this sun. The sun of doom, this sun. Yes, here my Photoshop skills. It has to not only do with the sun, but it also has to do with our galaxy, the Milky Way, or the Milky Way of Doom. Yeah, that's all. Okay, so, our galaxy is basically a flattened disk. It's got a lot of gas and a lot of dust. And it's got about 100 billion to 200 billion stars in it. It is a flattened disk, and we live in that disk. So this drawing that you're seeing here is actually a sort of an artist's conception based on realistic observations that we have being inside our galaxy. But in fact, since we are inside the galaxy, we see it as a thin disk stretched across the sky. That's what we call the Milky Way. In fact, this is a picture of our galaxy taken by the COBE satellite, which actually is still in orbit. The camera was called the Derby, which observed the galaxy in infrared. And as it orbited the Earth, it mapped out the whole sky. And so you're seeing this is our galaxy as on. And people think this is a picture taken from outside the galaxy. It isn't. It's just like being in this room right now. If you're in the center of this room, you look around, you see the people all stretched out in one line. If you look up, you don't see any people. It's the same sort of thing. When you look up out of the galaxy, you don't see as many stars. When you look into it, you see a lot. So the galaxy is a flattened disk like this. The galaxy has a central equator. You can call it the galactic equator. Fancy, yeah, astronomers are all these fancy, ridiculous names. So the midpoint of the galaxy is called the galactic equator, and the sun is pretty much in that equator. It's not exactly on it. It's pretty close. Well, at the same time that the sun is orbiting around the center of the galaxy in the galaxy's equator, the Earth is going around the sun. I have a diagram of this. The Earth is spinning on its axis, right? And we're in the, we're seeing the Earth orbit edge on here, right? So there's the sun and the Earth. So the Earth is going around the sun, and we're looking at that orbit edge on, so it's like a line, and the Earth is spinning on its axis once per day. Now, if you know that the Earth is spinning on its axis once per day and going around the sun once per year, you know more than 75% of the American public, because 75% did not know both of those facts at the same time. So there you go. So, this diagram is pretty good, right? No. Okay. President Ruggiero, professional astronomer. Okay, and you're saying no. Good skeptic. What's wrong with it? You know what's wrong with it? It's got a big giant red X for it. Tell me, wrong. No, of course. You guys know what's wrong here. Your axis is tilted by about 24 degrees to the plane of the orbit. It changes over time. The 24 is close enough. What's happening is that as you're orbiting the sun, that axis always stays pointing in the same direction towards. Yeah, the northern hemisphere. I think. Any Australian want to give a shout out for Sigma Octave? No, that's what the southern pole points to. But yeah, the north pole of the Earth points more or less towards the star Polaris. And the Earth orbits the sun, and I fiddle with an old diagram, it's not perfect, it's close enough. That axis stays pointing in the same direction as the Earth goes around the sun. So what that means is that over the course of the year, the sun changes its position in the sky. And I can draw a little parking to the guy here. And I draw him, and I don't know. I can do this from behind. You know, Neil Tyson last year said, you guys got all the red laser pointers and astronomers, we get the green laser pointers. Yeah, I have two green laser pointers. Neil's got nothing on me. I don't know, is that science proof? Yeah. Oh, so, yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't really need it, but it's just cool. I love this thing. Any of you on the clock, I go through, you remember my lucky day when I was there. So, if I put a guy on 23 degrees or 24 degrees north latitude, north of the equator, as you can see there, in summer, when the Earth's axis is tipped towards the sun, you can see that the sun would be straight overhead at noon. Right? You get the noon there, the sun is straight overhead. If we wait 6 months, and we put him in the same place, oh, wait a second, it's nighttime, it's on the wrong side of the Earth. So we'll wait 12 hours, let him rotate around, and now it's noon where he's standing, he's still on the same latitude line, but the sun is not straight overhead, it's an angle. So the sun's angle at noon changes over the course of the year. If you map that out and you start at the what we call the first day of spring, which really isn't, but I won't get into that now in the time, we call it the vernal equinox, the end of March, March 20th or so, and you measure, you go out every day at noon, and you measure the height of the sun over the horizon, and you approach, as you approach summer, the height of the sun over the horizon gets higher and higher. I just pointed out in short one of this one here. So every year the sun's position gets higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And then on June 20th, it's at its highest point, and then it starts going down over the course of 6 months. And then it hits that lowest point over the horizon right here on the winter solstice. I think that's right there. I can barely see that. And that's in late December, around December 23rd. Yes. That's the winter solstice. The sun gets its lowest point in the sky. So you can map that out on the sky, on the stars. It's always in the same position, basically. If you look for a certain position in the sky, that's the summer solstice. When the sun gets that position in the sky against the background stars, that's when it's the summer solstice, or that's when it's the winter solstice. It's just random on the sky. It happens to be where it happens to be. And that's what's going on with the season. Well, we have a little problem with this. And that is a thing called perceptive. When you take something that's spinning and you poke it, the axis moves around in a circle like that. You've probably seen that in a top as it's winding down. In the case of a top, it friction with the surface that it's on, and that winds up robbing the top of momentum and it starts to wobble more and more. In the Earth, it's actually the gravitational pull of the sun and the moon that do this to it, and so it makes it wobble. And this is called perceptive. And the axis of the Earth makes one circle every 26,000 years, roughly. It's close enough. And what that means is that, What that means is that the position of the solstices and the equinoxes, or the equinoxes, I suppose you want to be absolutely correct about it, they move across the sky. If you were to map the position of the winter solstice every day for 1,000 years, you would see it very slowly moving across the sky because the Earth's axis is moving around. And that brings us back to the galaxy and the galactic equator. I took some software, and I mapped the position of the galactic equator on the sky, and I mapped the position of the winter solstice, which you can see by that red X. And you can, as you can see that over time, the position of the winter solstice moves. I actually animated this over many years. Actually, I believe this is actually decades, about a century's worth of perception. Moving the position of the winter solstice across the sky. And you saw it cross the galactic equator there. Here's another one. And you can see there's the winter solstice. This is for real. I actually used legitimate software. Just zoomed in, and you can see the winter solstice moving across the galactic equator. And you might say to yourself, when does it cross the galactic equator? Anyone want to guess? Got ya. That's what these guys would like to have in legal form. They wanted to be here 2012 because they wanted to be a big special day. But it's not, it doesn't work that way. It's not an event of the winter solstice crossing the galactic equator. Actually, that year that the Earth was destroyed. Remember 1998? In fact, that's when Armageddon came out. So what's sort of a low point for science that year? But keep in mind, okay, the winter solstice is just the relative position of the sun over the horizon over the course of the year. It has nothing to do with the galaxy. But these guys are really laying it on thick. And there's one website that even talks about this. He even says, hey, that, it's around 2012 when the winter solstice crosses the galactic equator. Well, here's the galactic equator. I just drawn a line here to represent. And listen, here's the winter solstice. It's a few years before 1998. There it is in 1998, and 2 years later. Well, the thing is, the sun is superposed on this position, and at some point the sun reaches the winter solstice, and its bottom rim just nicks the galactic equator at the winter solstice. And then in 1998, the sun was centered on the winter solstice, and then a few years later, the succession moved the winter solstice across the sky to the top part of the sun, and just the opposite edge of the sun. This doesn't have anything to do with anything, okay, in real life. But what this guy is now saying, this proponent of the 2012 stuff, is that there's now sort of a season involving the winter solstice crossing the galactic equator. And he calls this the 2012 era. And if you say, well, how long does that era last? How long does it take the sun to completely cross the galactic equator due to the precession of the Earth? Well, the solstice moves by a degree every 72 years. The sun is a half a degree across. So the solstice will move the diameter of the sun, which we just saw there in that previous graph, in about 36 years. Well, that means if there's 18 years before and 18 years after, so that's 18 years before 1998, which is 1980, and 18 years after, which is 2016, and so now we're in this era. And you might think, well, wait a minute, 2012, where does that fall in that frame? It turns out, it's really late. So it's not even a 2012 era, it's not even centered on 2012. 2012 comes towards the end. And if you think to yourself, if anything were going to happen, probably would have happened by now. What's the reason? It's hard to find exactly what they're claiming. Is this going to destroy the Earth? Is it going to raise it to some new vibrational level? Is it going to make us transhuman? Any of this stuff. I don't know what they're claiming, because it's unclear. But I do know that up to that point, the conclusion they're reaching is baloney, because none of this makes any sense. If you're not really understanding what I'm saying, that may be telling you something. There's nothing really here to understand. So 2012 really doesn't fit into this narrative. I did an interview on a radio show where they interviewed this guy proposing all this. Then they interviewed me, and I said, this is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with galaxy. And he emailed me and said, let me lecture you. And I was like, yeah, that's going to happen. That'd be a lot of fun. Well, you might have another claim here that maybe At the center of our galaxy, you probably heard of a supermassive black hole. It has 4 million times the mass of the sun, and therefore has a tremendous gravity. And so maybe when the sun passes near that black hole, the gravity will add up and do something to the Earth. I have not seen this claim. This is rather stunning. You know, it's wrong. There you go. And I'll tell you why. I actually mapped the position of the sun over the month of December in 2012. And I keep forgetting you gotta do this a certain way. There we go. And you see over the course of a month in the sun, we're on a bounce back and forth. There's the sun moving back and forth. That's the galactic equator and galactic meridian, sort of the line going straight up and down of the galaxy where they cross before that black hole is. And you can see that the sun never really gets all that close to it in scheme of things. I actually mapped out the position of when the sun is closest to the galactic center in degrees. No, don't worry about that. But you can see that it happens around December. Oh, 19, really too late. Born and destroyed. So it's pretty silly. That claim would be bad anyway. I'm doing a little preemptive strike here, and you may wind up hearing this because they still have 3 years to peddle their garbage. I'm sure this will come out. There's the position of the sun in our galaxy. The center is marked by the giant red X. And there actually is a galaxy out there that has a big X in the center. It's really cool. It's just dusting and coughing. I don't think we have that, but it's Photoshop. There you go. The sun is 26,000 light years from the center of the galaxy. In kilometers, that's 260
quadrillion kilometers.
That's a long way. 100,000 million billion. Quadrillion, making sure. That's a fair walk. I'm not too concerned about a giant black hole that's that far away. And in fact, if you calculate the mass of the black hole in its distance to get its gravity, the gravitational effect on the Earth from that black hole is so small that the sun's force is 1.5 trillion times larger. So the sun can be smacked down into this black hole, and it's not adding anything to the sun's force already. As a matter of fact, I fooled around with the equation just to see. And in fact, the gravity from Mars is 1,000 times bigger. The gravity from the moon is even stronger than that. So this black hole has no effect on it whatsoever. Now, they haven't made that claim yet. I'm sure it will come up. But that's the closest thing to come to a physical claim, and it's wrong anyway. This whole thing about the winter solstice and everything, it would be like, I tried to give an analogy, and I couldn't think of what's stupid enough. The winter solstice has nothing to do with anything. The fact that it crosses the galactic equator is meaningless. It happens every 26,000 years. And there were humans 26,000 years ago. And so we know that this event won't do anything, but that won't stop these guys from using it to try to scare people into selling their houses, giving up all of their worldly goods, and probably moving to the center of the United States where it's safe. And really, I don't want to come to cold, so if you can help me fight this, I would be very pleased. And so in conclusion, I like to say that these claims are ridiculous, and they're what I call cosmic culverts, because they're full of astronomical crap. Thank you very much. There's a lot more I could have said, but that was the minimum I could do without having my head explode. Oh, the movie 2012?
Yeah.
John Cusack. This is a Roland Emmerich movie. The guy who made Godzilla, which I think he made Godzilla, didn't he?
Yep.
And I liked that movie, and I don't care if he did. I don't want to hear it. They also made The Day After Tomorrow, which was full of really good time. And so I don't expect it to be a scientific movie, but I do expect it to be an entertaining
movie. Do you like Godzilla?
Yes, I did.
Fly, the helicopter, higher.
Yeah. They could have done that in
Florida. You're good. We can fly.
That's what killed me. The guys in Florida didn't even watch Godzilla.
Yeah.
In Cloverfield, yeah. Oh, I'll defend Cloverfield.
I don't actually know what that is. No, I what do you call Hawaii?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Boyd, and thank you, others, for being so kind of listening. You can never finish.